If you're using a book, our first song will be number 326 out of the big book. Brother Sam Lyon had agreed and offered to cover the 9 o'clock lesson, but he's not feeling well. He actually had a trip to the hospital this week, but is doing a little bit better, and he's home now, but he's not going to be able to do that. So I wanted to use this as an opportunity to coordinate a lesson with some songs. We're going to sing three songs, and we'll look at several scriptures, and kind of the theme of this is the idea of looking to Jesus. So let's start with number 326, trust and obey, and we'll do all four verses.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of
chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. This is a beautiful song, and as we think about the idea of looking to Jesus, one of the things that this song certainly emphasizes is the role of trust and obedience. Our world wrestles an awful lot with that idea of obedience, but it is something that is clearly a part of what it means to have the proper relationship with God in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, if you'd begin with me in verse 5, and we'll go down to verse 9, the text says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We see here in this text, right at the last there in verse 9, that he's the author of salvation to all who obey him. There's no conflict between the idea of faith and trust and obedience to the Lord. If you go with me over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, we see this in some things that Jesus says as he uses the figure of the vine and the branches. And let's notice together the point that he emphasizes in John chapter 15, begin in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For, notice this, and we'll come back to this in a moment, without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, notice this, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you, notice this, keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Looking to Jesus involves trust, not putting hope and trust in ourselves and our own ability, but humbly and sincerely submitting to his words. Notice, as this text put it, abiding in the vine by allowing his words to abide in us. Let's sing together our next song. If you're using a book, it's number 530, number 530. And this song especially emphasizes the theme that we're trying to talk about this morning, looking to Jesus. In our life, that's what we do. We can't see him with our eyes, but through the eyes of faith, we look to him in that effort to trust and obey those things which he says. Let's sing together all three verses of Looking to Thee.
Looking to thee from day to day, trusting thy grace along the way, knowing that thou wilt safely keep all that is thine. Sure of thy soul redeeming love, sure of a crown of life above, singing thy praise I press along, Savior divine. Looking to thee, trusting thy grace, soldier can be, nearing my own. Jesus my own, then with the same ones gone before, I shall with rapture more and more praise thee forever near the bright, beautiful throne. Looking to thee, trusting thy grace, soldier can be in me, nearing my own heavenly place. Trusting thy love, I press along, looking to thee.
Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. How is it that we in our life look to Jesus? I said a moment ago, we can't do that with the eyes of flesh, but we can with the eyes of faith. And that is something that's specifically addressed in Hebrews chapter 12. If you'd look with me in the first two verses, after this beautiful chapter before in chapter 11, it talks about great examples of faith, those who looked for that which is unseen, those who set their hopes on that which they could not see with their eyes. I want you to notice what it says here, beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are many that have looked at this text and have argued from verse 1 that this is describing somehow those people of faith observing our life. I'm not sure that that's the sense in which the term witnesses is being used here. I think it's more that sense of one who gives testimony. There's no indication in Scripture that the dead are able to observe us in that way. But this example that is set sets the stage, I think, for what verse 2 there emphasizes, that in the same way we look to their example of faith and they offer a testimony to us, in the same way we look to Jesus. We think about those things that he did. Over in the book of Colossians, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And certainly that idea is emphasized in the opening verses of chapter 3, not specifically and exclusively talking about looking to Jesus, but looking to those things that are above. And I think we see here that sense in which we can look to Jesus in that way. Read with me the first four verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In the same way that those in Hebrews chapter 11, in the same way that in Hebrews chapter 12, we are urged to, with the eyes of faith, look to Jesus. Here it speaks of looking to those things that are above. We meditate upon the things that heaven has revealed to us. We meditate on what it will be like and what it could be like to be able to live eternally with God. We think about the character of God. We think about the character of Jesus, and we allow that to shape our life, recognizing that we've been raised with Christ, and so we're looking for a homeland that's different. Our behavior will be influenced by that, and that's involved in obedience and trust. That's involved in looking to Jesus. Let's sing together one last song, and that is number 184, number 184, Without Him. We noticed a moment ago in the text that we were looking at where Jesus described himself as the vine and his disciples as branches. He made the statement, without me, you can do nothing. We're going to look at a text in our final passage in just a moment where Paul talks about the benefits that can come when we do look to Jesus. But let's sing together this song, Without Him, and we'll sing both verses.
Without Him, I could
text we read in John a few moments ago,
Jesus made that statement, without me you can do nothing. And I don't think we should understand from that that there's no action, no thought we could do apart from him forcing us to do something. I think instead he is talking about the manner in which by obedience to him we are enabled to do those things spiritually that we need. We are not in a position in which we could redeem ourselves. We are not in a position in which we could merit our salvation and standing before God. However, when we abide in him, that sacrifice is offered on our behalf. Turn with me to our final passage, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to notice that in the same way in this song that we just sang, the writer of this song talks about the benefits that come, the losses that we have if we don't avail ourselves of looking to Jesus. I want you to notice some things that the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 as he expresses gratitude to the brethren in Philippi for the care that they have given to him. But then he moves to emphasizing the benefit that comes from looking to Jesus. Let's read together Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is kind of the other side of the coin from what Jesus said, in the fact that Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Here, the idea is when we have him, what are we enabled to do? Now, I don't believe that Jesus is saying that, you know, you can't even overcome sin. You don't have that ability unless I somehow miraculously give you that. No, we have the power of choice, but we need to recognize when we choose to trust and obey, when we choose to look to Jesus rather than looking to the world, looking to ourselves, we are put in a position in which those spiritual benefits that come enable us to be able to overcome sin, enable us to be able to overcome, ultimately, death. Paul has that confidence, even when he describes himself as having faced times in which he didn't have certain things materially that he needed. He learned contentment because, as he puts it there in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May we in our lives, may we this morning as we worship and serve our God, have that same kind of attitude as we in our lives look to Jesus. Let's go to our classes.